call the meeting to order. Representative Baker, have you had a chance to read the minutes from March 28th?
I have, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that. I'd like to move the minutes
from
March 28th.
Thank you very much. Representative Baker moves the minutes from March 28th. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are adopted. Today, we're walking through the DE, the author's amendment, to House File 1986, and the spreadsheet. We'll also be taking public testimony from those who've signed up, and we have representatives here from the agencies to answer questions. Chair Wagenius, would you care to move House File 1986?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would. Members, this is our omnibus general fund bill, and I'd like to move House File 1986, that it may move to referred to Ways and Means.
The chair moves House File 1986 be referred to Ways and Means. On Thursday, we'll be adopting the DE, marking the bill up and voting the bill out. We have a room Friday morning if necessary. All amendments will be due by Wednesday at 3 p.m. So we're going to start with the DE-4 and author's amendment to walk through. Madam Chair, should I have our nonpartisan staff begin the walkthrough? Terrific. So we'll have staff walk through, and then we'll have Commissioner Kelly up. He's on a time constraint, so we'll have him speak right after staff, and then we'll move to questions and public testimony. Mr. Ely.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 1986 DE4, Article 1 is the appropriations article. Most of these numbers speak for themselves. They're items that we've seen before and bills we've heard in this committee. One thing that is new is the top of page one, $8,000 for the Department of Natural Resources to develop a plan for converting lands to provide additional carbon sequestration. That's from House File 1413, Representative Lippert. The rest of the riders are from bills that we have heard before in this committee. So I will go to page four, Article 2, the energy programs. And the first section is new. Actually, at the top of page 5, line 5.6, there's a strike through on language that says this subdivision expires June 30th, 2018, which it did. And what this bill does is essentially remove that expiration. And this is a bill that gives the Department of Commerce the authority to assess up to $500,000 per year to represent Minnesota in national and regional energy matters, including MISO and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, et cetera. This would reauthorize them to make that assessment to perform those activities. Section 2, beginning on page 5, is Representative Akins' Solar for Schools program. This is the part of the program that takes place outside the XL service territory and sets up a grant program under the Department of Commerce. At the bottom of page 8, section 3 is the Residential Energy Conservation Financial Incentive from Representative Wagenius's House File 1191 that has the department develop an incentive for additional conservation for residential, for the residential sector. Section 4 on page 9 is Representative Wagenius's House File 1251, which requires the University of Minnesota to do some modeling and come up with climate area projections for areas 10 square miles. And that concludes the bill.
Thank you, and we'll have our fiscal analyst walk through the spreadsheet as well. Ms. Beckel.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you. Taking a look at the spreadsheet on page one, we have two agencies that we fund, and we also have two funds over which this committee has purview. Those are the Renewable Development Account slash Fund and the Petro Fund. So first, taking a look at the Department of Commerce, We only have the energy resources portion of that. The rest is in the Jobs and Economic Development Committee. There is one item of revenue in the energy resources area. Basically, the utility financial incentives program, they anticipate getting all of the money they spend back. For the Public Utilities Commission, they also have an item on which they expect to get all the money back via assessments, and that's what they've termed their decision-making capability. If we go down to line 17, we can see the riders or the individually funded items under energy resources. We have added a number, as Mr. Eloff mentioned. If you have any questions on those, please feel free to ask later. Under the Public Utilities Commission, as I mentioned, the only change is the enhancing decision-making capability item, which was requested in the governor's revised budget. Moving down, in energy resources, again, we have elected to spend the renewable development fund on a variety of items there. This no longer corresponds with the current bill that we're discussing today. This goes back to 1833. If you turn the page, you will see the list of bills we've heard and items that we are funding through the renewable development account. We also fund the Petroleum Tank Release Compensation Board with a direct appropriation. This, however, is out of the Petro Fund. Moving down, there will be a bit of overlap in what I'm discussing here, because now I'm switching over to not discussing it by agency, but by fund. So the Petro Fund has money that goes out to Commerce for Petro Fund operations, to DEED for the contaminated cleanup grants and administration. And they do also provide a great deal of statutory funding for a number of agencies, and I have Commerce listed here. Next is the Renewable Development Fund. Again, you can see all of the items that we have included in 1833. And then at the bottom, I have indicated the statutory appropriations that come out of the RDA, just to give you an idea of the total funds that must come out of the RDA. And that concludes the spreadsheet.
Great. So we're going to hear from Commissioner Kelly, and then we'll come back for questions since he has a time limit. Welcome to the committee, Commissioner Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, for allowing me to be here this morning. I'm Steve Kelly. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Commerce. I would like to thank Chair Wagenius for including the governor's budget recommendations in the committee's omnibus budget bill. We appreciate the reinstatement of the Energy Planning and Systems Grid Reliability Assessment, which sunset on June 20th of last year. This assessment provides funding for the department's participation in regional and federal electric and natural gas reliability oversight, ensuring adequate and secure generation and transmission resources to serve Minnesota homes and businesses. The assessment is charged to electric utilities for the actual cost of providing regional and federal grid reliability. This initiative utilizes up to $500,000 in annual funding for ongoing work with the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, or MISO, the Midwest Reliability Organization, a transmission reliability organization, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, the Midwest Renewable Energy Tracking System, and other regional and federal agencies. The work includes advocating on behalf of Minnesota interests, including reliability, cost, use of various energy resources, in MISO stakeholder meetings, ensuring adequate generation and other resources to serve Minnesota customers in integrated resource plans, using computer modeling for needed analyses in those integrated resource plans, joining with the FERC or MISO on petitions, and representing Minnesota in ongoing consumer complaints about high rates of return on equity for transmission resources. Without this assessment, the department has had to divert resources to complete the technical analysis needed to ensure the reliability of the state's electric system. In addition, although the proposal in the amendment is not identical to the provision contained in the governor's recommendation, I also want to thank the committee for considering a path to solar on schools. Nationally, energy costs are K-12 school district's second highest operating budget expense after personnel costs. A solar on schools program would reduce electric utility bill costs through increased efficiency of operations and access to less costly energy through on-site solar energy production. The department looks forward to continuing to work with this committee and stakeholders as the provisions within this omnibus bill progress. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would be happy to answer any questions that members may have.
There are questions for Commissioner Kelly. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just Commissioner Kelly, kind of just going right to the top, line three of the spreadsheet. It looks like there is a little bit, this could be for fiscal staff as well. For year 20, it looks like there is maybe about $150,000. What, you said it was from collecting or getting their money back, that was the increase there, or if you could explain that a little bit to them, to the commissioner.
This is a question to fiscal staff or to Commissioner Kelly?
Well, it was related to both, but I'll get, depends on who wants to answer it.
Commissioner, would you care to take the question?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Swazinski, did you say line three of the spreadsheet?
Yeah, line three of the spreadsheet. So you've got year 2021 in the February forecast of 4.276, and then in 23 it'd be 4.409. And just, I believe that's from the money, fiscal staff said that was something about collecting or getting the money back. Is that, yeah. You want to explain that, about what that's from?
Mr. Chair.
Fiscal, yes.
Mr. Chair, Representative. Are you referring to the revenue indicated in line 9 of the spreadsheet?
That could.
No.
There's a base increase, I believe, there, but.
Oh, you're referring to 2020 being significantly higher than 2021?
Yes.
Ah, yes. The difference there, if you look down to. Let's see. Ah, sorry. Took me a second. The chair elected to put more of the funding in 2020 than in 2021, so that is part of it, and then part of it is North Dakota versus the PUC in Commerce.
Okay, so Mr.
Representative
Chair,
Swazinski.
So that would be the one time, the 500,000 that's going to PUC, 500,000 that's going to the Department of Commerce, or just the Commerce portion?
Mr. Chair, Representative Swazinski.
Ms. Beckel.
The PUC withdrew their request for the $525,000, so this is only the Commerce request.
So, just what is the Commerce request?
$525,000 in 2020.
Okay, and then just the, and then to the commissioner, I appreciate you coming. Article 2, Section 1, Kind of looking at that assessment portion of that $500,000, did the commission, you know, before, why was there expiration date to begin with, and then why, how much of that assessment was actually assessed? So you had the ability in the past to go up to $500,000. What had you assessed in the past? Commissioner Kelly.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Swedzinski, I was not serving in this role back when the legislature decided to sunset that, and perhaps Representative Garofalo would have the answer to that question. But yes, we fully utilized that $500,000 when the grid reliability assessment was available.
Mr. Chair, and then next, Commissioner, just, you know, why are you making it retroactive? You know, obviously, you know, we play a role. We obviously want to maintain our reliability in the grid, but do we need to get rid of it, the sunset date, completely, or should we reassess it, you know, put a future sunset date so we can revisit this again in the future?
Commissioner Kelly.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Swedzinski, I think the purpose of making it retroactive to June 29th is to prevent a lapse in authority with respect to making the assessment. But if you look at lines 5.8 through 5.10, we can't make an assessment for activities that occurred between June 30th and whenever the bill is enacted. So our assessment will only be for activities going forward from the date of enactment.
Representative Swedzinski.
If maybe you could explain to me a little bit about, you know, you mentioned from a financial standpoint that you did other things in order to continue this work. Did the work simply not get done, or?
Mr. Chairman, Kelly. Representative Swedzinski, the department took a variety of measures as a result of our failure to have this assessment continue and the absence of an operating budget increase in the previous biennium, including leaving some positions open in the analyst area and in other roles in the department. So we were able to maintain these activities but had to stop doing other things.
We can Representative Swedzinski.
Mr. Chair, we call that belt tightening. We appreciate that.
So. Are there other additional questions for Commissioner Kelly? Seeing none, Commissioner, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Were there questions for Mr. Eliff or Ms. Beckel from the walkthrough? Okay. Then we'll... Representative Swedzinski.
Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes here. And just looking kind of at the... Oops, sorry. Got a little tight. Line 40 through 53, was looking at the out years. Is that the chair's intention, the fiscal staff, but looking from an expenditure standpoint, we've got, you know, $16 million in year 2020, but it looks like there's some push out into the year 2022, into those later years. Is that the chair's intention to continue spending out into the future years one-time money, or is this an ongoing appropriation?
Ms. Beckel.
These would be one time.
So,
Ms. Beckel looks like she wants to speak to that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Swedzinski, that is a technical error on my part. I'm so sorry.
No, I didn't know for sure, but I thought we should ask the question. So that's
Representative Garofalo.
My apologies for interjecting. The staff never make errors. Clearly, somebody in the majority caucus directed her to do that. That's why it's
yes,
not
right.
an error.
Sure,
no,
that's
true. That's just, whether that's true or not is completely irrelevant. That's what the story is. Thank you.
Representative Swedzinski.
That cleared that up. Thank you.
And further questions for our nonpartisan staff? All right. Seeing none, then Commissioner Tuma from the Public Utilities Commission. Are there questions?
Just a comment. Mr. Chair, I think it seems like the testifying area is kind of dark. I think the lights are turned off. We should maybe turn those on and put some sunshine on our testifiers.
If you're up in the bank, you probably want me in the dark. Well, that's even better. They don't have to look at Representative Swedzinski.
welcome to the committee, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have anything to add. We're, as I've told many of us when I visit you, we are your handmaidens. We apply the law. That's our job. It's a very unique process that goes about how we got our authority from years. You go all the way back to Brandeis and Chief Justice Taft and several created this concept where we essentially enact your laws, but we do very technical work and doing rate cases to make sure ratepayers are taken care of. And it's a challenge sometimes, but we are trying to do your bidding because our authority is legislative, but we, because of the nature of it, we act very judicially. So we view ourselves more of a judicial type organization where we take in very complicated, long records, some of them thousands of pages, and try to digest them down into a decision based on the laws that you give us. And so we've been doing that for a long time. This budget request that we have in front of you is to add two analysts to our system, one an attorney, one a fiscal type analysis, policy analyst for our going forward. We will have a record number of rate cases coming in front of us in this next biennium. That's the primary work we do. I know we get attention for other activities that we do, but the bulk of our work is around rate cases, and every one of our large utilities will be coming in for a rate case this next cycle, and we don't anticipate our work slowing down after that going forward because of the changing atmosphere, as you know, the changing environment around energy policy. We do not expect that to slow down in the near future. So that's the budget request that we have in front of you, and we're just here to answer any questions and apparently stay in the dark.
Thank you. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just kind of going back, I think I know the answer to this, but the North Dakota lawsuit money, just how, you know, you pulled that back, if you could maybe chat a little bit about that and how that affects your agency. And
I'll punt that over to Mr. Wolf. He's been,
thank you, Mr.
Tuma, watching the budget very closely, but
Mr. Murphy,
I think it'll be better coming from you.
Dan Wolf, the Executive Secretary at the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. Mr. Chair and members, Representative Swazinski, yes, thank you for that question. So when the budget was being prepared, of course, we were looking at a time frame in August, September to make that October filing with MMB. And at that point, we knew that we had the $525,000 that we needed to pay under federal court order to the state of North Dakota. And we had until July 31 in which to pay that. So we were looking at making that payment and then seeking reimbursement from the legislature for that. Since that time, and at that time, we had some unfilled positions, but since that time, we've intentionally left positions unfilled so that we could do what we think is fiscally responsible and legally necessary to comply with a federal court order and make that payment so that we could insure ourselves so that we'd have that money. So we've been saving some money on vacant positions, one of which, of course, is the commissioner, not that we have control of that, but normally a commissioner will stay in office until their successor is appointed and takes office. In this case, Chair Lang left December 31, and so that's been vacant for 3 months. There's some dollars there. There's staff positions that we've intentionally left unfilled to gain, including some in the analyst staff, some in the admin staff. And then I've also, anticipating this, I've put not a complete freeze on travel for staff, but basically a pretty hard no on travel for staff to try and save those dollars. So we, again, we're trying to do what we think is fiscally responsible and not anticipate an outcome and just say if we can handle that ourselves by doing some financial planning, we want to do that.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Wolf and Commissioner. Nice to have you back. This is, I guess, just more of a question for the PUC about as we are looking at allocating more staff support for you. There's a lot of resource plans coming in. Like you said, I think the commissioner said there's record amounts coming in. My guess is they're getting more complex each time they come in, and more information is needed to make good decisions so that our ratepayers don't pay more than they have to. How often, and I've just got a couple of series of questions for you, Mr. Chair, but how often right now does a IOU turn in a resource plan to the PUC? Is it the same for all of them, or is it different based on their size?
It's different for each of them, and we try to have a cycle of 3 years, 2 to 3 years. Sometimes they go four. They try to match up with rate cases. Now we have, you know, multi-year rate case for XL, and so we're trying to time that so that we're dealing with maybe some of those rate case questions with this. What I've told them was the World Series of resource plans. This will be a big one. We're looking at a lot of new things. And you're right, Representative Baker, they are more complicated. You know, before it was how many big plants can we build, four or five of them, and we drive the power down through the system, and we distribute the energy that way. Now when you have energy that's going to be coming back up through the distribution system or smaller type generators that fit better with our wind resources that we have here in our state that are good investments for our state, that creates a more complicated structure that we have to try to figure out. And frankly, new technology is coming on extremely fast. No one would have thought back when you passed the solar gardens legislation that the price of solar would drop as fast as it did. And that created some complications, but, you know, we're working through that. And those are the type of things that are just happening so very fast that it's hard to predict from one resource plan to another, even though there seems like a long time, 3 years. That's really a short time in our world. And so that's kind of the timing, but they do differ.
Representative Baker.
And Mr. Chair, that's maybe my point, is that everything in almost a decade is a reasonable amount of time for making any kind of pivots with energy stuff. I think it's complicated. It takes a while to do that. I think you're sort of alluding to the fact that I wonder if 3 years isn't too often, where you can do more multi-steps, because of my desire is to try to get the PUC more information on solar gardens and how they work and what the real cost is to the folks who are required to buy that power. My thinking that'll be in the future, we'll try to do that. Would it be smart, because I think we're all trying to find a rate that people can afford, at least I sure that's one of my main goals is affordability. If we were to allow a few less resource plans coming your way in a little bit, maybe more of a five-year plan, does that make more sense as things get more complicated down the road? Do you think as things change, that's something that legislatures might want to look at?
Commissioner Tuma.
You know, Mr. Chairman and Representative Baker, those are good policy questions. Again, we don't take positions on those policy type stuff. There is some value to taking more frequent looks, but we also like the flexibility for a particular utility, given what they have to do to be able to stretch that plan out. And so I think we're in a good place right now as far as resource plan timing right now. Certainly the utilities can talk to you and let you know what they're feeling as far as those resource plans. And we really look to you for that direction. But right now we do have that flexibility to move those timing around, and we do very frequently move it around just based on the specific needs of that particular utility. They may be building a major base load type facility, and that's going to just alter their plan, that it makes no sense to do it in 3 years. It may make sense to do it in 4 years. And so we do that assessment. We try to have our utilities communicate with us because we want our plans to be meaningful. That's the one thing that we appreciate about the legislation that you guys put together for us, is that plan is meaningful. It's not just something we do rotely. Everybody takes it seriously now, and it's part of the culture that we have in Minnesota. And you look nationally and you talk to any other states, and we've gone to the national associations, they look at envy with Minnesota because our utilities are full participants in that process. They know the legislature has our back when we are trying to make those resource plans, because we're trying to do your bidding there. And so it is one of the best resource planning processes anywhere, bar none, in the country.
Appreciate that, Mr. Chair. And just finally, and thank you for those comments. I just know how much all of the ratepayers in those public utilities pay to put a plan forward. It's in the millions, and I know it's very complex with attorneys and engineers, and so many people are involved. I just know it's important that we always realize every time that you get a resource plan, there's millions of dollars behind that the ratepayers are paying. I just want to make sure we're using those dollars wisely. So thank you for your comments.
I don't see any additional questions, so thank you very much for your time. Are there any questions for the DNR? Okay, well, they're available if there are any, but seeing none, we'll take public testimony. We had two folks sign up for public testimony. The first is Isaac Orr with Center for the American Experiment.
I'm All right. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Thank you for having me. Today, I'd like to comment on two main items. My name is Isaac Orr, Senator of the American Experiment. I'll identify myself. All right. So the first is the Solar on Schools Grant Initiative. The U.S. Energy Information Administration data shows solar panels in Minnesota produce just 18.2% of their potential output. And as a result of this low output, the unsubsidized cost of solar exceeds $110 per megawatt hour. So this leads to increasing total cost of the electricity system, which increases the cost for surrounding communities as parents and grandparents pay higher electricity prices to subsidize the panels. The children and their parents would benefit more from a direct cash transfer to school districts to defray the cost of rising electricity prices through solar panels. And also, regarding the small area climate modeling study, I believe this study, if conducted properly, could be a powerful tool for crafting good public policy, because more information is obviously better than less information. $550,000 is an enormous price tag, which means this study should be as thorough as possible. And as a result, I believe these models should be required to predict future wind speeds in Minnesota based on global carbon dioxide emissions and future global warming. According to Bloomberg, this year's El Nino, albeit mild, has caused wind energy output to decline 14%, even though more wind turbines have been built. And scientific studies have shown that a warmer world could reduce wind speeds in the Midwest, resulting in wind output falling by 20%. These models should also be required to account for low-end equilibrium climate sensitivity estimates. And lastly, this should allow show how climate will change in Minnesota if other countries fail to reduce their carbon dioxide emissions, like, you know, China and India. These models will be indispensable to planning our future energy system because greenhouse gases mix evenly in the air. If wind speeds will potentially fall in the future, Minnesota should study how using nuclear and large hydro to meet our carbon dioxide reduction goals will affect cost and reliability, because these energy sources are less likely to be influenced by weather than wind patterns. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Next, we have Kevin Pranis with Laborers International Union.
Thanks, Chair and committee staff, for the opportunity. I'll keep this brief. Just wanted to talk about how important we think that fully funding the governor's request for the Department of Commerce energy work and for the Public Utility Commission is. There are lots of different kinds of public spending, and our members were concerned because our members work in energy work, whether it's building pipelines, distribution lines, whether that's building wind and solar facilities, maintaining coal and nuclear plants. Energy is critical to our members' work. Energy projects are an important source of jobs, again, whether those are conventional fossil projects or whether those are renewable projects. And so the work that's done at the PUC and the Commerce is important, and the investments that we make. We're talking about, you know, relatively small dollars that unlock billions of dollars in investments, all right? Whether, again, that, and we don't all agree on what sorts of investments, but what we should agree is that there should be timely review and thorough review for those investments so we can move these important projects forward and so we can manage the energy transition without undue negative impact to ratepayers, right, or to workers. And I can say, take responsibility ourselves. We've been very active in this process. We've seen the work of Commerce staff and the PUC. We don't always agree with every recommendation or decision that comes down. I don't think anyone does. But I think we should all agree that work's important, that it's important for them to consider all of the aspects of this issue so that we do the best by Minnesota that we can, and that it's critically important that we move these projects forward and decisions forward as quickly as possible so we don't have large private investors sitting on the sidelines waiting to invest billions of dollars in our economy. And so I think this should be a bipartisan initiative, and I can say that we will take responsibility for having added to the workload at Commerce and the Public Utilities Commission. We've asked them to look at issues they haven't looked at before, like the local impact on local workers of these projects. And so if we're going to ask them to do more work, we certainly think they need to have the minimal staffing to be able to do that and to move these projects forward. So appreciate your time.
If you wouldn't mind stating your name for the record.
Sorry, Kevin Pranis.
Thank you.
P-R-A-N-I-S.
Thank you so much. Are there other members of the public who wish to testify? Okay. Are there questions to the bill author on the bill? Seeing no questions for the bill author, just a reminder that We are going to be marking up the bill on Thursday. Amendments are due by Wednesday at 3 p.m. And with that, we are adjourned.